Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Duck Hunt, my friends. Welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Stu. I've got Chris Tilley with me.
Hello, you got my pen.
There you go.
Thanks.
Alex Simmons is here with me.
Duck Hunt!
Duck Hunt, my friend. And Daniel Krupa is here as well.
Hey.
So I think we're going to have a very busy podcast this week because it's the next week, very few of us are going to be here. I'm on holiday. You're in E3.
Los Angeles.
Krupa, you're over there as well.
City of Angles.
You're going to be here on your own doing a podcast.
You're rich.
It'll be the best podcast ever if it's just me talking.
Can we make the gag about how whenever you're in charge of the website, the figures go through the roof?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Next week's going to be huge.
You've got a lot of content going up, haven't you?
Yep, a lot. I'm going to be working really hard when you're not here.
Good.
Well, we're going to talk about E3 a bit later on in the podcast. We should do our traditional thing of just asking what everybody's been up to this week. Anything interesting? Chris, you've done something interesting.
I did something interesting last night.
Did you?
I went and saw Prince.
You said
at the Roundhouse.
Did you buy tickets?
Yeah, I bought tickets.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine, I tried and had no success, but a friend of mine bought some and sold me one. It's very good. He played a proper full-on greatest hits set.
Right.
And it was amazing.
Do you know what? I don't actually know that many Prince songs.
That's what you think. And then you go and see him. You're like, oh my God, it's another winner.
Right.
Yeah. He kept saying, I got too many hits.
Is that how he speaks?
A little bit.
I can't believe he talks anything like that.
That's amazing. When doves cry.
In a red carpet.
It's about to rain. Gonna party like it's 1999.
I'm Rick James.
See, loads of them. There's loads of Prince songs there.
I don't know a Kiss song. Kiss is only the one of those artists. I wouldn't even be able to tell you.
God gave rock and roll.
Well, Kiss is one of Prince's songs that he played last night.
Yeah.
But Tom Jones had a hit with it. Nothing compares with you. A Prince song that
nothing compares to you.
To you. What did I say?
Nothing compares with you.
That's what I was singing.
People next to you.
That so basically,
he's an artist, and other people have done his songs and made them more famous.
Yeah, a few of them. Yeah.
That happens quite regularly. Dylan, that's happened to quite a lot. Yeah. All Along the Watchtower, big hit for Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
This is probably going down well with all the 14-year-olds out there, isn't it?
Springsteen. Natalie Cole had a big hit with Pink Cadillac.
Natalie Cole. Where the hell did you dig that out?
Sorry. Let's change the subject. What have you been doing, Alex?
Building Lego.
What?
Building Lego.
What Lego have you been building?
New Ghostbusters Ecto 1.
Ooh.
And, you got it as well, Creepy.
Yes, I built it last night from the Kyusu.
You sound like Rain Man then.
Kyusu.
Yes, I built it last night and it was fun.
From the
I had fun. The Kyusu.
Isn't it Kyusu? Initiative. Well,
it's double vowel. For both, it's CWSKUSU, where people submit user-created Lego sets, and then once it gets 10,000 backers, Lego are obliged to consider it, and if it's feasible, they'll put it into production. And that's what they did with Ecto-1, and you get all four Ghostbusters. Building is very fiddly build, Alex.
Yeah.
I've built a lot of Lego over the last year or so. It's very fiddly, a lot of little parts.
It's a quality product.
It is. I like building their little proton packs.
Yeah.
Although I couldn't get the nozzles quite straight.
Because I know how OCD you are as well. So. But things like a lot of other Lego.
You get nozzles, Chris.
You get stickers. Like, so I bought 170 quid Star Wars B-Wing.
And
what?
Yeah, I know.
Does this mean your daughter's going without this month?
Yeah. No, this was a long time ago. Okay.
I got shoes for you. Shoes for you.
She's wearing two B-wings to nursery.
Exactly. But with that, you got stickers to put on pieces, which I thought, yeah, this is 170 quid.
A lot of pressure putting the stickers on as well.
Oh man, tell me about it. Anyway. But on this, you get the little Ghostbuster sign already printed.
Yes.
Nicely right. on the pieces.
And you get a nice quality book as well. It's got a nice weight to it.
Yeah, so...
Hefty tomb.
Yeah. My 4-year-old saw me, and she was like, I'll build it with you, Daddy. It's like, I don't think so.
Oh. She's got her Lego. This is my Lego.
From what I understand with this thing that's come out, what did you call it with the double vowels?
Kusu.
They're doing a female scientist pack next. Is that right? I believe that's just one.
Padre.
Oh!
Some of the great scientists have been female throughout the ages, Stuart. Marie Curie, for instance.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Well, lots are submitted to KUSU, but that doesn't mean that they're going to build it.
Right, so if it wins KUSU, it might not get off.
If it gets over 10,000, they consider it. Right. Because, like, how many people had Zelda backing?
But it's to do with...
that's a licensing
licensing, but it's also it's an engineering problem. Like, if you create something that requires too many custom pieces to be built, you often have to, like, create new tools to do it, and then it becomes just...
Like, super expensive.
Yeah, unfeasible.
That KUSU thing is a bit like... Isn't it like that thing the American government brought in where petitions, if they have a certain amount of... names on them,
then the
government has to consider them? And it was like... Because recently, wasn't it kicking Bieber out of... the States, and they had to release a statement. There was a Star Wars one
about building the
Death Star.
They answered that, didn't they? Yeah, in quite a funny way. Absolutely. There's obviously some Star Wars fans working at the White House who wrote a really funny report.
That might be quite a good job to reply to some of those crazy petitions once they reach critical mass.
Or just
there's some serious ones as well.
But that's the thing, like, you'll get one funny one every year or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I know the reply to the Bieber one, just write a yes on it. Boom, sorted. Yeah, he's gone.
Make it happen. Yep. I'm really worried I've come across as a terrible sexist now.
Good, you should be worried.
Oh, no, you've come really not.
You've come across as a sexy terrorist.
What?
That's better.
Have you done anything, Stuart?
No. I'm off on holiday next week, though, so I'm quite pleased about that.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Going over to Disneyland in Paris for a few days.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
On your own.
You should bring your daughter. Yeah.
Exactly. Good. Find the next...
I'll enjoy that.
Find the future next ex-Mrs. Reed.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, can't wait. It's going to be good. Mm. And that's it, really. We better crack on with the news, I suppose, and find out what's been happening in the interesting world.
Well, I'll tell you, the force has been strong this week. Because
beef or curry.
Every day there seems to be Star Wars stuff breaking. Some of it official, some of it most definitely
breaking.
Unofficial.
Breaking? He's had your X-Wing in pieces.
Has he?
Right. The first couple of days this week, we had TMZ, that well-known website that we all love to frequent, posting unofficial pictures from the set of...
What's it stand for, TMZ?
I was about to say the same thing.
I'll find out for you.
You find out while I talk about a big space pig.
Sorry? That's not a very nice thing to call it.
One of the pictures was looks like a big space pig, and that's what people are calling it. Okay. And it looks awesome. It's huge. Apparently it takes 5 or 6 people to kind of work the insides of it. But big, practical, cool-looking aliens is what
props
we're seeing.
And
that's what we want.
Actual, real things.
It's the Tatooine marketplace.
Yeah.
With the
has it been confirmed as that? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But have they actually confirmed it as being Tatooine?
I don't think they've confirmed anything. Okay.
Right,
but
right. There's a lot of things you can infer from what we've seen. Like, but we've been back to Tatooine not so long ago. In Phantom Menace, we went back to Tatooine, didn't we? And even later as well, I think.
Didn't he go back in the second one?
Yeah, he's always going back
to rescue his mother.
Yeah, but
that whole angry, I'm going to go and kill some sand people scene.
Oh yeah, that was third one then. Oh, that's the second one. That's when he starts to embrace the dark side.
Yeah,
yeah.
I haven't seen the second one.
It's so bad.
It's like sand under his shoes.
Anyway.
So yeah, what do we think of the pictures though? I think we've all been quite excited by the practical nature.
We said this morning, like, there are actual things to take pictures of. Like,
it's not just
a
green screen.
There's a joke that goes around Twitter like periodically that's really getting quite boring now, but people go, oh, leak picture from the new insert blockbuster film, and it's just like a green JPEG.
Yep.
Because everything's digital. But there's stuff to take pictures of. There's stuff to delete. There's sets. There's actors. There's creatures. There's models.
And one that was very exciting next day was the Millennium Falcon. Looks like we were seeing being built.
Oh, that's good news.
And it looked huge.
J.J. Abrams was stressed. He was putting the stickers on himself.
And then we had J.J. Abrams tweeting something, didn't we?
As a riposte to all the leaks that were happening, he took a picture of a letter that he hadn't written, and it said something to the effect of, I really wish people would stop leaking all the stuff, and they're saying, like, the Millennium Falcon is in the film. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think...
And he took a picture of a letter on top of the chessboard that's inside the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Which I thought was very smart.
Cool. Yeah. But there's been some real news as well this week. They're pumping out these directors.
what? What? Is that like colonic irrigation?
No.
I thought that's how you get a gig in Hollywood.
Josh Trank will be directing a Star Wars spin-off. Josh Trank, the director of Chronicle.
You know what he should do? He should direct the film he's on at the moment and get that made, and then he can start worrying about Star Wars.
Because the film he's on at the moment is Fantastic Four.
Right.
Ah. So he has a busy slate ahead of him.
So we've obviously got the main Star Wars movie coming, the other spin-off, and now a second spin-off.
So we've got the Gareth Edwards spin-off.
Which one's that?
The first one. It's the first one.
It's just like one of the... Yeah.
Have they... So episode 7 is coming out when?
Next Christmas.
So okay. 2015.
Then, yeah. Yep.
Spin-off 1 is 2016.
Yeah.
Summer. Spin-off 2, not really.
I think then it's JJ... Well, episode...
8? 9.
Oh my gosh.
Episode 8 the year after, and then a spin-off. I think the idea is that there'll be a spin-off and then one of the main films every year, kind of.
We're milking that, aren't we?
This one is confirmed, is scheduled for December 16, 2016.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
not next year, then. That's the Christmas period.
No, it's J.J. Abrams is next year.
Okay.
Cool. You're right.
No, I'm totally confused.
Abrams is doing...
He won't be around by then, it doesn't
That's
matter.
True, yeah.
He's doing the core films, Abrams, and then we've got all these spin-off films.
All right. Okay.
Cool. There you go.
But it's very exciting. Again, a young, up-and-coming director, not someone too established, but someone who's kind of... seems like a geek, seems like someone who's grown up with in the way that we have with these films.
Who knows? What are they going to do with these spin-off films? What would you want to see? Like... there's always been talk of like them doing a bounty hunter movie. Yeah. Gareth Edwards, you would think it would be some kind of, I don't know, basing it simply on his track record. He could do anything though, because he's a talented director, but some kind of monster movie. There's lots of big monsters in the Star Wars universe.
I want to see a film about the movie. Either Cantina Band in From the Size
of just thinking,
oh, like inside Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah. Just something really out there, just weird.
I was thinking the cantina would be a good kind of starting point, a bit like EastEnders, you know. Everybody goes to the pub in EastEnders and everybody goes to the pub in Coronation Street. They should just like have it all set in the cantina.
Pint of blue milk.
Yeah.
I want to see a character piece on the Sarlacc pit.
I want to see a tone poem. What, is everyone just down in 12 people, like 12 angry men, all stuck in the bottom of the Sarlacc pit, trying to work out how to get out?
And Boba Fett just like plops in.
There you go. Have that for nothing, Josh.
So yeah, exciting news in Star Wars. I feel like there's more to come as well. I feel like they've not stopped.
Oh, they're not going to stop now.
What are they going to? Which director are they going to announce next week?
I would like to see Duncan Jones announced as a Star Wars director. I think that would be cool. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Anyone else for any?
Would be good.
George Lucas. I'd love to see
Edgar
Lucas
Wright
back in
Star Wars comedy
directing chair. Seriously?
No.
Edgar Wright.
Star Wars comedy.
That would be good.
I tell you what,
he's got nothing on at the moment.
Nah,
I tell you what,
his schedule's wide open now.
I tell you who'd be a good one is David Fincher. I believe didn't he work in some way, shape, or form on Return of the Jedi. I think he might have done. Plus, he's a Star Wars fan. David Fincher Star Wars movie would be awesome.
After Alien 3, it's unlikely, isn't it?
But he's a different Fincher now, isn't he, from the Alien 3?
What about in Manor of Zodiac, like a 3-hour kind of procedural drama to work out who shot first?
Yes!
And at the end, you're still none the wiser.
And then it's just ambiguity prevails, because that's what Fincher's all about these days.
Awesome. We're sorted.
Yeah, we should copyright that. More news this week, and a game has been announced, Dan.
Mortal Kombat!
X!
He was assistant cameraman on Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
It's all up here somewhere.
Yeah.
He must have been really young.
Yeah, It was a little toy camera. Yeah. Just there. So lots of stuff is kind of getting out ahead of E3. Cut through, Alex. That's what they're trying to achieve here.
To avoid the white noise.
Amazing mind show.
Bigger mind show. And one of the games to kind of jump early is Mortal Kombat X. Now, Ed Boon, the creator of the series, he's been teasing it for quite a while on that there Twitter.
I don't think it's how he knows.
My name's Ed Boon.
Or it's going to be more fighting. I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't do accents. I can barely do my own. And they've been releasing posters that we've seen of like a spinal column. Yep. And he changed his Twitter background to the iconic Mortal Kombat logo. And then he dropped the announcement along with a really nice trailer showing two most famous characters, Scorpion and Sub-Zero, taking each other on in a kind of frozen forest environment.
Well, it's half frozen, half burning.
Getting that frozen dollar that everyone's going for these days. Yeah.
I thought the opening
bit... Oh, we should recut that to Let It Go.
Let's do it.
Well, I thought the opening bit felt quite a lot like the White Walker stuff in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything freezing as he kind of stands there. But I thought
it was really cool.
Great trailer. How does that actually translate into the game?
There are sections of that trailer that almost look like they it could be gameplay. And also, you have to remember, like UFC, if you're just got two characters on a smaller environment, no kind of open world, persistent systems, AI, you can probably get a lot more graphically from those boxes.
So it's not so much the sort of visual aspect of it; it was more the way that interacts with the background. Yeah. And obviously,
because there's one bit where Sub-Zero freezes like a tree branch and snaps it off and uses it as like kind of a sword.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Now, obviously, they did Injustice, and there was a lot of kind of scripted events in there, but it did feel quite scripted. I thought, and once you'd seen the kind of big finishing move once, it's like, okay, I've seen you smash his face into the back computer.
The coolest thing about the trailer, if it is indicative or even uses some kind of gameplay stuff, is I thought the fluidity of them fighting, because usually in fighters you can tell it looks like someone's pressing the button there. There's other fighters like Dead or Alive where like the kind of the blocking takes into account the attack.
Yeah.
So it's like a bespoke animation.
Yeah.
In this bit of gameplay, it looked like they were actually fighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Like the riposte. No, there's a special word for it. The counter.
Right.
The counter looks like it's contextual based on the type of punch. It looks like really like intricate martial arts.
But that's what made me think it's not real. In terms of what they showed.
Are you saying it's bullshot?
Well, I'm just saying it's probably a target of what they're aiming for. Yeah.
Mm. Might see a lot of that E3 next week.
Would you like some Mortal Kombat feedback, though?
Oh, bloody love
it. I have an email. I have an email on that subject from Andrew Voick, who says, with the announcement of the next installment of the Mortal Kombat series, who are you hoping to pop up as a guest? Are you inevitably DLC console-specific?
Bruce Lee.
DLC?
My exceptionally greedy hope would be for a whole series of horror movie icons. They already had Freddy Krueger in MK9. Why not Pinhead, Leatherface, or even Leprechaun? Preferably from his Leprechaun in the Hood incarnation. So who would you like to see? Anyone? Anything? Character?
It would be cool if they had a full roster. It seems licensing around some of those characters is a bit more relaxed than other properties. Because you got Michael Myers recently in Call of Duty. So a full on roster of all great horror movie icons would be amazing. I basically just use this idea.
It's not really a horror game though, is it?
Yeah, but it's not entirely out of... It's a gory game, isn't it? So it's kind of... There are definitely characters who are horror influenced, like Reptile and...
Yeah.
They wouldn't be out of keeping.
Mm.
What do you think, Alex?
I'm trying to think. Well, I was going to say some of the Game of Thrones stuff after the fight. That
Khal Drogo would fit into.
Yeah, he'd be better.
That would be cool.
Mm.
Yeah. Conan. Khaleesi just like calls on her dragons.
Looks quite fit. He also says, what's your favourite fatality?
I used to be a big fan of Babalities when I was little.
Mm. What's that?
It's when you turn your opponent into a little baby and they cry.
It didn't last very long.
Because I got really good at the game when I was little and I used to do it to my cousin all the time. It's like turning into a little baby. Like the ultimate humiliation. Like you could like rip their head off, but actually I was turning into a little baby and you'll cry and wet yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually much of a Mortal Kombat fan. More of a Street Fighter fan, so...
Okay, well, Andrew's art. His is a tie between Shiva in MK9, rips off the opponent's arms, and then bitch slaps the unfortunate fatality with their own appendages. She then finishes off by using the bloodied stumps to applaud her own victory.
Is that how you finish off?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And he likes the classic one is Sub-Zero Spine Rip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's the first one.
I mean, if we were going to broaden this and just watch your favourite death.
Not mine.
Oh, yeah, anybody's not mine.
Where are you going?
I quite like Alan in Coronation Street when he gets run over by the tram.
Yeah, would you good like to call on a tram at the end of Mortal Kombat?
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
I'm going to go with an oldie but a goodie, Helen Daniels in Neighbours, when they didn't realise she'd had a stroke and died, and they were kind of talking to her still. It's weird. Yeah, that didn't go well.
Any of the ones in Neighbours, Bouncer the dog.
How did he die?
I can't remember, but he definitely dies.
Right.
Because all dogs die.
Brilliant.
What about you?
That's a good one.
Any TV or movie deaths?
I was going to say the death of this podcast very rapidly. So why don't we move on to the next subject, shall we?
Shall we light the mood a little? Doctor Strange. Any Doctor Strange fans in the house? Brilliant.
Sorcerer Supreme.
You're on your own.
Shall we move on? Doctor Strange, the Marvel character. He's a Sorcerer Supreme. He is the most powerful magician in the universe. And they're going to make a movie based on the character, and they've announced the director this week, and it's Scott Derrickson.
Who's he?
Scott Derrickson is a horror film director, so it's an interesting direction for Marvel to take. He did Sinister. He did The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, yeah.
He did a Hellraiser sequel, but that was his first movie. Right. We'll let him
but
off that one.
But some sequels are supposed to be all right, actually, like the much later ones. I don't know which one he did.
Yeah, I've given up on them after about three.
Like, not amazing, but... not total dross.
He's had one foray into blockbusters, which wasn't great. It was The Day the Earth Stood Still remake, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But Sinister's really good. And he knows how to scare people, so if they're going to go down a slightly darker route with this one...
Does he hide behind doors all the time?
Also, the fact that I like when you said magician, like, I think you have to go sorcery. With a magician, you just think he's going to do really lame tricks in all the movie. Like,
where'd the pennies come from? Yeah.
I don't think they've actually officially announced it, but he tweeted a picture of himself holding up a comic saying, "My next project will be Strange." Cat's out of the bag. That's a really interesting one. And today there was a rumour of who they might be casting in the role. Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Ooh, people like... I'm surprised.
I saw Dallas Buyers Club last week and I thought
he's
going to
do it just like that.
Yeah.
In drag.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's very good in
that,
isn't he?
He's very good, yeah.
Very powerful.
Because who else was rumoured this week? Also, Ethan Hawke, because obviously he worked with director on Sinister.
I find Ethan Hawke a bit dull.
He's a bit dull, isn't he?
He's great in Sinister,
Tom Butler, who obviously died once he left this podcast, tweeted a suggestion, and the Red Viper from Game of Thrones.
That would be good.
He'd be cool.
Means nothing to me.
He's got nothing on at the moment.
He's got nothing else to do at the moment.
Is that a spoiler?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we might do a superhero show dedicated to some ideas.
Tomorrow, yeah. We'll have that up for the weekend.
Yeah.
Horror, because Guillermo del Toro was once upon a time associated with the project. Horror director.
Yeah.
Gaiman was associated with it for a brief amount of time. Horror kind of...
Yeah, writer. I mean, he's not an out-and-out horror character, but they're obviously going to make him a bit scary.
On, like, curses and sort of things that the occult, I guess, is...
It's the occult, that, definitely, yeah.
falls within the remit of a horror director and his expertise.
But that'd be cool, because, you know, we keep talking about we'd like to see Marvel mix things up a bit, and, you know, it feels like they're going through the motions a little with the main heroes that they're using, so it's good to see someone a bit different. Oh, God, no. So interesting news on the Strange front.
Last piece of news this week is that Forza Horizon 2 was announced by, us.
Could you sit further away from your microphone?
Yes. Forza Horizon 2 was announced.
Alex is in the next room. Forza, well done for saying it
right
as well.
I know, it was only after spending the entire day with the developers that's I'm saying this wrong.
No, I'm not sure how much of this we can actually mention at this point.
Well, we can say that we've seen the game.
Yeah.
We can say that it's coming out.
Yes. We can say that it looks, from what we've seen, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, as long as we don't show it.
Ah.
So that's a good point. You spent your entire week blurring out the video of the game.
So
what have you been up to this week, Stu?
If you've seen the conversation piece on Forza Horizon 2, somebody's actually commented saying, "That's some of the worst compositing I've ever seen. Are your video editors on crack?" That's because it's not compositing. Those guys aren't composited from a green screen. We actually had to blur out all the footage on the monitors behind them because of timing issues.
Umbongos,
yeah. Umbongos?
Yeah.
What's an umbongo?
It's like an embargo, but nicer.
Tastier, sweeter.
Yeah.
A sweet embargo.
So, the game is out later this year. So it's going to be out in fall.
or Autumn.
Autumn, yes.
So it's going to come out pretty much the same time as Drive Club. So that'll be interesting to see what kind
crew?
Of
things.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. But I thought it looked very pretty indeed.
It looks very pretty.
I really like this. I've never really been into Forza Motorsport, but I really liked Forza Horizon.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, Motorsport is pitched.
Really fun.
Motorsport is pitched as a kind of hardcore racing game. You know, this is still.
It's the more accessible one, though.
But it's a lot more accessible. And to give you an idea, you know, you've got supercars that now go off-road a lot more. You know, I'm not going to go into too much detail because we'll have a lot more stuff coming up.
But over the next 3 or 4 weeks, in fact.
Yes, yes. But, you know, it's the first kind of... Need for Speed is my level of racing game, where you don't have to touch brake too much.
Mm.
And this is not quite as extreme as that, but still it looks like a whole lot of fun. And it's really, really pretty as well.
It's incredibly pretty. We look behind the scenes at some of the stuff they're doing graphically, and it's absolutely incredible. I think without giving too much away, the lighting is what they've done with the lighting is amazing. And even how they render the sky is unlike anything that's been done before. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, exciting. So, more today, tomorrow, next week.
More next week,
as part of IGN First.
Yes.
Bringing you new information on new games every month.
First.
Oh, crap, I messed it up. That was not
going
to drape
me. You had one job.
Yeah. That's all right. I'll sort that in post.
Yeah.
This is for us to scope me out.
Can you blur out that? Because we shouldn't be sharing that.
Okay, I think we should issue a spoiler alert at this point, because we're heading on to the first of two talking points this week, and it is about Game of Thrones, and in particular the Game of Thrones episode that aired on HBO and Sky Atlantic this week.
The Viper and the Mountain.
The Viper and the Mountain.
Also the Pillar and the Stones.
Yes. Mm. Yes. How did you get the stones above the pillar? That's a reference to There's Something About Mary. How did you get the beans above the Frank? He's got the beans above the Frank. No?
Am I my no idea here? What you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, good. Chris, okay. No?
I'm just worried that...
Mentally stepped
am I ever going to watch Game of Thrones? I'm going to know everything that happens in it when I finally get around to watching it, aren't I?
Well, have you not started watching it at all?
I've started a couple of times.
You won't be
giving
part
up those times.
Guys, you're not going to get there.
No.
Fair enough.
Go, go, go.
All right, thank you. Well, okay. Of course, this week it was the big part of the episode. There were several big parts of this episode, but the biggest part, I guess, was the big fight scene at the end of the
finale.
Episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually thought the fight scene was going to happen a lot earlier. As I was watching it, a lot happened in the episode.
They kept the powder dry for it, didn't
they? You get right up to the end, it's like
there's not
going to
be enough time for this. Yeah. It's going to be the next episode.
So I guess, the first thing is, it's very brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Should we explain it for Chris, who
Chris
hasn't seen it?
Don't do anything for me, just do it for the listeners.
Well,
that's very selfish.
They've heard it. I don't. All right, explain it to me.
Hopefully, people have seen it.
Yeah.
If you haven't, then please do not listen. Do not watch or listen to
what happens.
So, there's a fight between this huge guy called the Mountain and this small, nimble chap called the Viper. Is that right?
Yeah, the Red Viper. Prince Oberyn.
Prince Oberyn.
Obviously, everyone expects the Man Mountain to win. So, this little dude dances around him, ends up pinning him on the floor. With a big spear. I'm cutting it down
like
very quickly.
He's like dancing around him.
It's a really well choreographed fight. But basically, he's there. He's trying to get revenge on his sister who was raped and murdered by this guy. And he's trying to find out who is it that issued the order for him to go and rape
them. And we know who it is. We know it's Tywin Lannister that issued the order.
And he's taunting him, trying to extract this kind of confession.
Yeah.
Even though he's like slashed his Achilles heel.
Yeah. So, he cut his Achilles heel, stabbed through the chest. And you think the big guy's down and out, and anyway, the Viper is so preoccupied with trying to get this information out of him, the other guy whips him off his feet, rolls on top of him, and then basically crushes his head and his head pops.
It's like he builds. He punches him, knocks all his teeth out.
Oh yeah,
and he gouges his eyes out.
It's
blood
really
is issuing out of the socket.
Really,
and he keeps
screaming,
on going, and his head crumble, like it just pops.
There's properly
blood
gruesome
and brain.
Why am I watching Game of Thrones
everywhere?
It would be my point on it. My take on it is, I'm not squeamish whatsoever. I've watched plenty of gory things. I'm not prudish when it comes to stuff like that. It doesn't bother me. I feel like films and TV, whatever, can use that stuff if they want to. But we're talking about that. We're talking about how gory and spectacular it was, rather than it's really sad and shocking that character died. We're talking about the way he died, rather than the fact he died.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's almost because Game of Thrones has had so many shocking events, it kind of has to outdo itself. And it's so kind of shocking that you talk about that more, and especially when I've heard people in the office, they're talking more about the effect of how he dies rather than the consequences.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, dramatically, that's kind of just a little bit off.
Yeah, because
I don't know what you think. Like,
well, I was actually quite sad that he died because I really wanted him to win, and I have no idea if this is because I know the stories and the TV and the book are going slightly different directions now, so I don't know if this follows that.
Well, I think it does, but I think in the books he's introduced a lot earlier. So he was only introduced in season 4 of Game of Thrones on the TV show, but in the book he's introduced, I think, as I say, a lot earlier on. So his character, you know
more
him
of
a lot.
Attachment.
Yeah, you get more of an attachment to him, and I think the manner of the death is probably not quite the same, but very similar.
But there was definitely, from my perspective anyway, an expectation that he was going to win, even, when I was watching it 2 weeks ago before this episode started.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting
But this
that.
Is Game of Thrones we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah,
You know, and nothing pans out the way you think it's going to pan out. I'm really concerned because, of course, what this means is the possible death of...
Say it.
Tyrion.
I've got a theory.
Okay.
And you backed up the theory this morning. Yeah. So
we haven't read
the book. Obviously, I haven't read the book. So the Mountain was obviously slashed in the Achilles and then stabbed through the heart or through the chest. I reckon he's going to die.
Yep.
So therefore, both of the warriors... So again, just adding context to it. Little dwarf dude. He's...
accused of regicide.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if the Viper had won, he would have been let free.
It's death
Mountain
by combat.
So I've got a feeling that he's going to die, and therefore both are dead.
Doesn't matter. As far as I know, it's one that's first that dies first in the ring. As far as I'm aware, that's the way it works. Whoever dies first in the ring, that's
well,
the
we'll
outcome.
See. But the other thing that you said this morning,
I think he's called the Viper because he poisons his weapons.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he's the Mountain is probably going to die. I mean, he's lost the use of his legs anyway because his Achilles have been hacked.
Yeah.
And he's got a sodding great big spear through his chest.
But what do you think in terms of?
Sorry, we'll bring it back onto what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
I think. You're probably right, because the last time I remember seeing something as violent as this, going back a few years, do you ever see the Gaspar Noé film Irreversible?
I've never seen it.
Which is a really horrific film.
Yeah.
And there's two parts in that film that there's one part that's referenced a lot, and that's there's a very long, very uncomfortable rape scene. But there's a part earlier on in the film where a guy goes to this club and batters another guy to death with a fire extinguisher.
Mm. Mm.
And it's a very similar thing to what happens in Game of Thrones. It doesn't cut away from this scene. And you basically see this guy's face just being caved in. You see his jaw hanging off, you see an eye hanging out of its socket, and it's really ugly. It's really uncomfortable to watch. And in the context of that, that's a film that is there to shock, and it's there to disorientate you.
Mm.
Whereas in Game of Thrones, which is more mainstream entertainment, I think you're probably right. It is a little bit more uncomfortable.
Again, I would just reiterate, and there's another point I want to make, is, I'm not squeamish, and it's not the fact that violence, I think TV shouldn't use violence or anything like that, because, it's basically, it starts off being King Lear. Mm. Like, he's gouging out his eyes, and obviously in King Lear it has certain thematic relevance, so he's gouging the eyes out and crushing, and kind of do that, they kind of foreshadow it, I think, in the episode. So we talked about this morning. They're having that conversation about their dim-witted cousin who used to crush bugs. And it's almost like foreshadowing the way that he crushes in his head.
Yeah.
So they do try to set it up kind of like in a literary kind of way. But ultimately, I think it's just so spectacularly gruesome. It overwhelms the moment.
Because there's nothing quite like Twitter straight after Game of Thrones has aired. It goes absolutely crazy, more than anything else.
It's really hard to...
Since I've been using Twitter.
Because I only watched it yesterday, so 2 days after it aired, and it was really hard to try and avoid anything.
I mean, I'm quite interested. The four of us here are horror people. We've watched horror films, aren't particularly squeamish. A lot of people... of my friends are like that, but equally, I've got a lot of friends who hate horror, who won't watch it, who are squeamish, who are all watching Game of Thrones.
Right.
So how's this affecting them?
But the thing is,
people who won't watch a horror film, and yet this sounds like it's much more hardcore than a lot of horror.
Much more hardcore. So I think in horror, violence and gore and stuff like that is used kind of sometimes metaphorically or as a symbol and stuff like that. Here it is just this person has got killed in a really horrible way.
Yeah.
Like we've. talking more about the final scene, yeah. there's an equally horrible bit in earlier in the episode where the man is flayed.
Yeah.
That is equally shocking in some ways.
I need to watch this.
And it just cuts to him, and his eyes are like stabbed in, and he's got no skin on his torso. Yeah. He's dripping.
It's
equally as shocking.
Is it bad that this is making me want to watch it rather than the storyline you talk about?
Because it's what everyone's talking
about. It's event
about.
TV. Like,
it really is. Yeah.
But are they going to have to keep topping themselves?
This is the thing. Is where do you go? Since the Red Wedding,
it's escalation
in the last season, which was violent but more shocking than violent. Which is why the Red Wedding worked. Yes, that's why that worked so well. And you're right, Dan. This hasn't worked as well. Maybe it wasn't meant to work as well, though. Maybe that's not the reason behind it.
Maybe they're going for. But I remember after the Red Wedding, just being
numbed,
dumbfounded.
Yes,
like had no words. Yes. Just like utterly horrified, harrowing experience. Whereas this is like, ugh.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a cheaper kind of reaction.
Yes. Yeah. And they didn't flinch away from it either. You know, they kept on it for a few seconds.
Linger.
There was a long shot of it as well.
But a lot of it was almost like, you know, from the perspective of the mountain as well, when he's like squeezing his head, it's like, oh my God, this is,
But we've seen effects like that in video games, have we not? And we're not too fussed about that.
I think that's more gruesome than anything I can really think of.
Yeah, because like God of War 3 has a lot of like, you know, sort of face battering,
ripping
your
head
like
off.
But it's nowhere near as gruesome as that.
She rips off her opponent's arms, bitch slaps the unfortunate fatally with their own appendages, finishes off by using the bloodied stumps to applaud their own victory.
But if he'd done that, that would have been funny in Game of Thrones. it wasn't funny.
Well, what about
Mortal Kombat? It's like, I know you did that for more of a gag, but like, I guess it's tone and treatment and approach to it. Like, Mortal Kombat has a very kind of heightened kind of sense of humour. The fact that you can also turn your opponent into a baby and stuff. Like, it is incredibly violent at the same time.
Well, what about the old hag in Wolfenstein that came out the other week? You know, the one you did a video for. That's pretty horrible as well, when she's like, she's right up in your face and she's got her jaw hanging off. And it's
I think that's peculiar or particular to video games above and beyond any other medium.
I guess there's, you know, there's Two-Face in the Batman movies as well, which is really horrible to look at.
Honestly, I thought this was next level, the Game of Thrones stuff.
Mm. Yeah,
I think from mainstream TV, you're seeing something there that usually would be the reserve of more extreme cinema.
Mm. Yeah,
like Asian cinema, something like Irreversible, that sort of stuff, almost crossing over and coming into your house through your TV. Mm. And that's why it was particularly shocking. Because usually you have to go and seek that stuff out. Yeah. Whereas this, it was like everyone was watching it.
On a, you know, a main TV show on a main TV channel. Yeah. So.
Well, we'll see what happens next week, because traditionally episode 9 of Game of Thrones is the season where everything really
hits the fan. Well, hasn't kicked off yet, has it? Apparently it's just Jon Snow, actually.
Jon Snow next week.
Is it?
102 against 100,000. That's not going to go well, is it?
Good answer,
that's not going to go well. So, let us know what you thought of this week's episode of Game of Thrones, and in particular the violence, the violent aspect of it. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. And yes, we know it's an unwieldy email address.
Oh, yeah. Just the way it is.
Let's try and get duckhunt@IGN.com.
I'll probably get that, actually.
Yeah, we'll have a word. We'll see.
It's already taken.
Do you know what? I think it would have to be UK_duckhunt@IGN.com, unfortunately.
That's
just how our emails are set up.
Let's move on to another chat, because we already mentioned that next week it's E3, the biggest week in the gaming calendar, some
Absolutely.
Would say.
Yep.
And the week that Chris is going to watch all of Game of Thrones while at work.
Hey, you could do that. Yeah, because then I'll have something to add to the podcast next week. Or the week after. Yep. Perfect. Job done.
Lovely. So what's your thoughts about E3? Because we've had a lot of stuff that's been leaked out already.
Yeah, so
it's a mixture between leaks and, again, just jumping the gun.
Yeah, so because it's a bit difficult, I guess. If you're a publisher and you think, right, it's the entire focus of the world, if you're into games, is on LA at that point. So do you announce your game along with 50 million other games? Mm-hmm. Or do you try and get out there a bit early so you've got the spotlight on your game only? But the problem that's happened this year, and it's increasingly built up to this point, so many big games have come out and either leaked or been announced already that it's a bit like...
Yeah, and it's actually resulted in some kind of awkward moments, like Mortal Kombat and Forza both were announced early, but exactly the same time.
Oh dear. So everything they planned.
Yeah.
Everything they planned to try and keep the two apart, and then exactly to the minute.
That's incredible.
Whoopsie. Yeah, Tuesday.
I guess, you know, when E3 started many years ago, the media landscape was completely different. We didn't have social media.
No.
Which is, I guess, why everybody got together in one big building and everybody announced all their games and journalists would go away and write up everything about them. But yeah. Now that landscape is completely different, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
is something like E3 as necessary now?
Well, I think I think for outside of our industry, it helps shine a light on some of the amazing stuff we do. So, you know, the hardware announcements last year, you know, some of the big games, you know, outlets such as the BBC, for example, probably wouldn't give two hoots that, I don't know, Far Cry 4 has been announced. But they will be at E3 and they'll be talking about video games and what a thriving industry is. So it's good for that.
I think Monday is a conference day is quite interesting as well. Like having a platform for those big developers, almost kind of setting out an agenda, knowing what they're about for the next year, trying to convey what the future's going to look like, even whether they keep or betray those promises, getting them, and it's kind of like the Apple keynote or any kind of keynote in any industry where you kind of set out your stall for the year ahead.
Yeah.
I think always interesting.
The thing that's different this year, more than any other year, though, is that normally you have those kind of hell yeah moments where it's, you know, one other thing, let's announce this game.
Mm.
So many games have been announced already, it's like, what is left? Like Ubisoft traditionally announced a brand new franchise, but The Division is, well, God knows when that's coming out. Rainbow Six Patriots, you know, they announced that, or showed footage of that 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Still nothing on that. If they announce another game that's coming out in 3-4 years, it's like, well, you know, what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, Assassin's Creed will come out every year until I die.
There's going to be a mixture. Like, there's the games we already know about. I was almost going into that Donald Rumsfeld.
You were, weren't you? There are known unknowns. There are unknown knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns.
And then there's Batman Lego 3.
Wow.
So there's games that have got ahead that we know, we've got official wording on, we've got pack shots, we've got trailers. There's games that have been leaked, but we still don't have firm details on them. So like Project Beast, for instance, Halo 5 Guardians, we've been announced. But Project Beast, we've seen footage, but we don't have hard details.
Looks
what
pretty
it actually
real,
is.
Though.
Yeah, so I think it's authentic, but we don't know what it really is yet.
Yeah.
And then there are still unknown knowns, like Battlefield. Not Battlefield, Battlefront. No. Star Wars game.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront, yeah.
And then there still will be a few surprises.
See, I'm really looking forward to seeing some Star Wars Battlefront stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know that much about it, apart from it's being developed by DICE, and ex-Uncharted lady is working on it, I believe.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Amy Hennig.
But I've also heard
she's
from...
She's working on a different Star Wars game, actually, the Visceral one.
Okay, right. So I've also heard that Sony has got a new announcement.
Okay.
Which will be exciting.
Mm. Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Nobody wants Crash Bandicoot.
No.
Some people do, but then you'll give it to them and they actually won't.
No.
We, all right, we're making this instead of next Uncharted.
So, you know, some things that, you know, I'm sure that we'll see Uncharted there. I'm sure that we'll see, you know, we know that Far Cry 4 is coming. I'm sure we'll still see footage
of it. There's still lots
to
be excited about. Is that what you're saying?
But it's still lots of stuff we haven't. But it lacks the Kazam moment, which is like, this game is coming. And it's...
like Bioshock on the Vita.
What?
Do you remember that? No. Ken Levine announced that like 2 years ago. Still nothing.
Right. Wow. Yeah. But that's, you know, part of the charm of being at E3 is being in a room full of loud Americans and watching them lose their shit over something that I couldn't give
to
you.
To IGN head office, Alex.
Yeah. Apologies to all our American friends who are listening to the podcast presently.
No, because Nintendo,
it's
of course,
a fact of life. And most Americans that I've met will happily admit that they get overexcited.
If you happily admit that, let us know.
Yeah.
They really happily admit it. They admit it with
woo!
A woo.
USA! USA! Now, Nintendo don't bother going to E3, do they?
Not anymore, no.
Do we know why that is?
No, they are there. They just don't have a press conference.
Right, and why is that then? Because they want to be more in control of what they're doing?
They beam direct into
budget reasons.
It's not that.
Joking.
Because they do Nintendo Direct now.
Yeah.
So rather than talking to a room full of overexcited Americans who whoop and holler at the slightest little thing, they beam direct into people's homes to people who whoop and holler at the slightest little
thing. Circumvent the media.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Alternatively, they haven't got many games coming out that are exciting. That's not true. Zelda, the new Zelda, will hopefully be very exciting.
Well, we don't really know any of the Nintendo announcements. So that's at least someone, at least one publisher can keep a secret.
Yeah. But and that's the difference. So they'll announce stuff at the Nintendo Direct, which I think is penciled in for the Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning, yeah.
And then the show opens at midday, okay. And then you can go onto the stand and play the game. So which is, you know, a nice way of doing it.
If you wanted to like watch all of these press conferences and see all the new games,
where could you do such a thing?
I didn't think you could.
GameSpot.
Who?
What?
Amazing.
IGN.com.
Yes. Is that IGN.com/E3?
We're basically live streaming.
I think it is, yeah.
We're basically live streaming for the entire week. So you can watch all the press conferences, pre and post analysis, demoing all the new games. It's going to be crazy.
Will we see you guys on camera?
Yes.
Oh, what are you doing on camera?
Well, I'm looking at everything that EA is releasing. So hopefully Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefield Hardlines, blah, blah, blah.
FIFA.
And then. Yeah, of course. Yes,
you and Leah.
Yeah, me and Leah are going to talk some, you know, serious FIFA shit, man. It's going to be sweet.
Pre World Cup. So
I'm doing EA stuff. You're doing
all the 2K stuff. So hopefully, we'll see more evolve.
Yep.
But yeah, loads of stuff. It's going to be a brilliant week.
Yeah.
And will you be doing a podcast while you're there?
Time permitting. That's the idea. So we're going to hook up with our Aussie pals.
Cool.
And are you going to do a podcast?
Going to try and get Tristan to do the podcast for us.
Yeah. Tristan, if you're listening, thanks very much.
Brilliant. Let's move on. Reader feedback this week. Dan, you've got the first piece.
Have I?
Yes, it says number three on top, but it's actually the first piece.
This is from Vincent. Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt!
I was listening to your feedback discussion from last week about the Xbox One without Kinect and how useless it's been, say, for a few voice control gimmicks. It got me thinking, how would the Wii have fared if new motion controls were only used on the home menu, but there were no games at launch truly that utilised motion controls and made it so it was easier to just use a plain controller? This is why Wii Sports and the Wii were successful, because there were games that actually used the control method. They gave us new methods of controlling games. This is the problem with Kinect, I think. I love mine, but there's no games that really show it off. Do you agree, Alex?
Yes.
Moving on.
Wasn't it like Kinectimals and Kinect Sports and all that, though?
Well, yeah, but it's not... Last time, and then obviously Kinect Sports Rivals recently came out, but...
But it's not a big enough reason to invest in the hardware,
and
I don't think.
To cite Vince's point, Wii Sports, that was the epiphany moment. You've talked about that many times on the podcast, where it just like completely made sense.
It's the one time when a new console made sense. Like, because normally it's like, okay, well, I'll get that.
Hardware and software in perfect alignment.
Within 30 seconds, it's like, right, I get it.
I remember the first time I saw it was in the window of Game on Oxford Street, and they had two people in the window demoing Wii Sports, and it was just, there was a massive crowd of people outside watching, because it was just like, oh my God.
And Kinect doesn't make sense in the same way when you pick it up, and you start using it. It doesn't make sense in the quite same way.
Just sits there staring at you, Dan. Yeah. Staring at you.
I've got an email from Riss Lord, who says, last week you guys for an example of a game that's better with Kinect, Dance Central.
That is true.
Well, it's not a game without Kinect, basically. It's just a soundtrack, yes. It's just a CD.
I like that. Just listen to Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Unless you had a mat. Would you rather your dance games had the old-fashioned arrows on a mat that you plugged in and had on the floor, or the camera?
Well, I think the mat is more gamey, as in, like, it's kind of you're doing well here and not. Because I've played Dance Central, and sometimes I found it a bit unreliable. Because I was throwing some banging shapes.
I do like to freestyle, and sometimes I feel the mat limiting.
Yeah, but it's true. But you can't do that in any dance rhythm game.
Oh, okay.
What happens, though, if you've got a really shiny floor? You could go arse over tit with that mat.
Or pull off some pretty awesome moves.
That's true.
Just spin for hours and hours.
Yeah.
He's got some moves.
Yeah, I've used MC Hammer.
I always think back to Barcelona.
Flash dance and MC Hammer.
What, like throwing him up in the air? On
With his broken leg.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And you just gently sliding down a wall.
That wasn't a dance move.
Oh, wasn't it?
No.
And there was nothing gentle about it. He was standing up next minute. He was face down and his nose was
splattered
across the floor.
I don't think anyone really knows what we're talking about, and maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah. It reminded me quite a lot of this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
So much blood.
Been such a nice night before then.
Yeah.
But luckily, you had a lot of alcohol to numb the pain.
Speaking of alcohol,
Richard Knight says Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
I was writing in to say that I was shocked to hear about Prince Kamali ordering a double vodka Coke when offered a drink. Yeah. I'm sure if it will make Chris Tilly feel any better, would you let him know that I once paid £34 for two bottles of Corona in a New York nightclub?
Chris, I don't think you know about this.
No, what's
last week? We were talking about one of the first times. after Luke started work at IGN, we went to the pub and you got around a bit, and I told the story. You offered to get round it, and I was like, oh, can I have a pint? And Luke went, can I have a double vodka and Coke? And your face just went, seriously. you were really pissed off.
No, I do find it funny when people demand a double.
But that's I said to him, yeah. So everybody else is definitely a beer. You're like, oh, I'll have a large wine. It's like 10 quid. It's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't do that. That's not how this works.
Yeah. That's
have something of equal value.
Yeah. The office was out a while ago when someone, do you remember this? Someone ordered, I'm not going to say who, but I'm pretty sure they don't listen to the podcast. Someone got around it and this person ordered a jug of Pimm's.
What did you want? Just a jug of Pimm's.
And stayed for like an hour and a half, drank the jug of Pimm's, and then went.
But that's really clever, because if you get a jug of Pimm's, you don't have to go up and get around anymore.
No, you can't. You've got so much to drink. Four.
Right, that's it.
Would you like a drink? Can I get a bottle of scotch, please?
But
no,
that's it.
I only order beers in jugs now. Just a pitcher. just enough to keep me going from now until I leave.
Two bottles of wine? Thanks. No, I'm not happy because I don't want our listeners to be having to pay all that money for their drinks. So no. I'm sad for you, Rich.
£34 is insane.
Two Coronas.
It's not even good beer.
I hope he means the beer and not the old fizzy lemonade you used to get in the 70s.
Like,
do you remember Corona?
Yeah.
Used to get Cheriade. That was nice.
Mm.
Back then.
Aye. Back in, and they were in glass bottles, and you used to get a deposit back on glass bottles and all.
Ooh, save money.
My Corona.
Oh, nice.
I wondered what you were doing in the neck. Just going.
See, you've got the knack.
See what ack.
You've got the knack. That was the name of the band that did my show.
Was it?
Yeah, the knack.
I thought they began with an S.
What? Why?
Don't know. I got an email from Ryan Johnson. He says, Duck Hunt.
Please.
let me speak about Watch Dogs. Before its release, I was as much a part of the hype as train as everyone else. Now it's out, though, I can't help but feel disappointed. I feel as though the map lacks any truly unique areas, such as the GTA airport or the Saints Row Marina. The hacking doesn't feel very open to experimentation. Press Q to blow up this bad guy. The karma system seems to be almost half-assed, in that it has no real impact on the game, unlike infamous karmic systems. Whilst I'm not saying that Watch Dogs is bad, I don't think it lives up to the hype. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Have you played it anymore?
I've probably played about 10 hours. I'm finding it a bit of a slog, to be honest.
Right.
Can't live up to the hype, because the hype was just...
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Was that the first next gen game we saw?
Well, I'm writing something about this at the moment, probably gone to this weekend, and we saw it at 2012.
Yeah,
and that was, I think, one of the reasons it generated so much hype, because that was the E3 where we all thought next gen was going
to
show
it to be
up,
there. Yeah,
and no consoles were announced, but they showed this new game that quite clearly was a next gen game.
Yeah.
So it was our first glimpse of next gen at a conference when it failed to turn up.
Yeah.
And it's not revolutionary. It's very similar to a lot of games we've already played, and it's not that exciting. I find certain sections enjoyable to play, but it's just a bit bland, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
I borrowed an Xbox One from work and I've given it a spin, and yeah, I'm not that.
It's also just like overwhelmingly big as well. Like, but a lot of the things you can do, I don't find that interesting to do in it. Like, I'm not going to go to a point in the map just have a little race.
Do you not find Do you not find it also visually too noisy?
I think it looks visually just quite flat.
Right.
I said this on last week's podcast, I think. So
It
just doesn't feel like a particularly vibrant world. I don't enjoy just hanging out in the world like I do in.
In the real world.
You don't want to explore like a replication of a real world location. You want to have something that's a bit more
amusing, or it's a game.
Vibrant.
Yeah, it should be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, email from Drew Kennedy or Kennedy, not sure. Dark Hunt, please.
Dark Hunt.
I'm an American.
Alex is so annoyed that he wasn't around for the birth of Dark Hunt.
No, I think I was.
Were you?
I was in
that. Why aren't you happy that our listeners are happy?
Because we've done 234 episodes of this podcast without a catchphrase, and this one is stuck, and that upsets me.
You don't want us to turn into
it because I came up with it. Because it's my catchphrase.
I'm just upset because you come up with all the best catchphrases in the entire world.
True. I brought Duck Hunt back, just like I brought Banter back.
Yeah.
Bants.
He's an American who likes whooping and hollering and high-fiving. He also likes watching football. I would have to say I know more than most over here because across the pond, since the minority... Oh, he's in the minority. When it comes to, oh, God. He likes football. Not many Americans do.
It's trade old time bar all over again.
These lights, isn't it?
Which one of you look forward to playing FIFA every year? Daniel, because he reviews it every year.
Yay! I might not review it this year.
Breaking what?
That to you now. Am I? I enjoy playing FIFA against other people more than just FIFA for the sake of it. I play it with my housemates all the time, because it's the only game they really play.
Yeah.
And playing against other people, it's unpredictable and fun, like the real-life sport, Alex.
Yes.
But
speaking of real life sport, which team do you support?
Blackburn Rovers. That's the team I used to go to as a kid. I had a season ticket for about 12 years when I was younger.
Why did you answer that as if you thought it was like a question? Blackburn Rovers?
Just because they've.
Why don't you say Blackburn Rovers?
They might not know them. That's probably why.
Well, he knows more about football than most people in the US.
Lowly Blackburn Rovers. Just because they're having a bit of a torrid time at the moment over the last couple of years.
Speaking of Tory times in there.
Chris is probably the biggest resident football fan at IGN, I would say.
Yeah, probably. I support Crystal Palace. It's come up a few times on the podcast. We've had our third best season in the history of the club this year, so that's been nice. Finished 11th in the league, I'm sure our listener knows that. So yeah, Alex, who do you support?
Arsenal.
And why do you support Arsenal?
Because I'm a glory hunter.
Amazing. And the glory's coming back.
And you won a trophy.
I always love finishing fourth. It's amazing.
No, won a trophy.
I usually finish second, but fourth, yeah.
Have you ever supported a team, Stu?
No, football has never interested me.
You watch it a bit, don't you?
I thought you liked Arsenal.
About the World Cup.
I follow Arsenal, yeah.
You should be a Spurs fan. You live in Walthamstow. That's quite near.
I should be a Leighton Orient fan, really. Yeah. They're just down the road. I've seen Leighton Orient play a couple of times.
Are you looking forward to the World Cup, though?
No. Oh. No. I'm already sick to death of it.
I bet Drew is. Are the US, are they decent at the moment?
They're all right.
They've got a really tough group, though.
Yeah, they have.
Germany and Portugal.
They're going to struggle as much as we're going to struggle.
I was going to say, yeah.
What do you mean last night?
What was the final score?
2-2.
It was 2-2. Right, okay.
Is Chamberlain injured?
It looks like it, yeah.
What, out of it?
Ligament? I don't know. Yeah, they're worried. That wasn't a real game last night, though.
No,
I watched bits of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real game.
It was just to get them acclimatised, Chris.
It was a B team. He was having a look at a bunch. So they'd never played together, any of them.
What's the England manager called again?
Roy Hodgson.
Do you not think he looks like somebody's old grandma? He's got that look about him, isn't he?
That's disrespectful.
your poor old grandma.
He's a very nice man, though. Everyone likes Roy Hodgson.
My grandma would do a good job of it, though.
Would she?
Yeah.
Sorry, last question from Drew. What do you want to see in future FIFA games?
I keep saying it. A game where the ball is a bomb. And birds that come on. We've said this many times on the podcast.
I don't think we have, have we?
Zombie football.
Zombie football, yeah.
The more touches you take, the more limbs that fall off.
That's nice.
How does that? And you're just heading it in with your head.
To know who his team is.
Good shout. Drew, let us know who your team is.
I saw that the weekend.
And why you support
Donovan became the top scorer in MLS history at the weekend. Oh,
good player. Bloody good player.
Isn't Frank Lampard going to.
Yeah, apparently. So the team that doesn't yet exist.
It doesn't exist. It's only got one player.
New York. Has not got David Villa yet?
Yeah,
he's one player they've got. So it's a team.
That's going to be a great selection in FIFA, isn't it?
Their first player. What a weird thing to be.
It's a bit of a tangent, but yeah, it's a team that's been co-created by the New York Yankees and Man City.
Wow.
And they're going to play the first season in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
And they're kind of all their iconography and kit is an amalgamation of the two teams' colours and lettering.
Oh my gosh.
They've got a lot of money.
But they've only got one player.
I want Frank Lampard to come to a team like Crystal Palace for a year or two when he can still be really competitive. He can go to New York in 2 years.
And still
he's in the England bloody team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally.
It's crazy.
Is.
Yeah. Crackers.
They're saying this is his swan song for England, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
This email, subject header, wow.
Subject header.
It's a World of Warcraft email.
Mm. And this is from Benjamin Stannard. And he says, why are you guys still trying to attack Nintendo?
Oh.
Don't you feel a bit silly now that Mario Kart has sold 1.2 million copies in three days?
I feel so silly that we recommended it as our game of the week last week.
Yeah. Why did you do that?
I don't really understand what that means. I think
if we hadn't have recommended it, it probably would have only sold about six copies.
I don't think we're not anti-Nintendo at all. We just gave Mario Galaxy our game of the generation as well.
And we recommended.
And we did a week's worth of Mario Kart content. Yeah. And I spent all week doing a video about Mario Kart shortcuts. I don't really get that. I think there's being anti-Nintendo and then just speaking objectively or subjectively sometimes about the things that they do, and critically
reporting the news.
But we're like that with all publishers.
Yeah,
it's not just Nintendo.
Like, you know, like I think we've probably been more critical of Microsoft over the last year than
and Ubisoft as well.
Yeah. So I don't think that's really fair at all.
I think, you know, if I think that there can be an element of frustration sometimes when a company does something that you that doesn't chime with you, that you don't think is a particularly good idea or you think is a misstep. Mm. And I think that frustration can, you know, will air itself on something like the podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're all fans of these things here. Yeah. And when you see something that isn't going to work out or doesn't look as if it's going to work out, you are going to get upset and frustrated and you're going to talk about it.
Yeah. And we're all paid to be pundits of various things.
Yes.
And...
because you're paid by Sony, aren't you? Alex is paid by Microsoft.
By I'm paid by the highest
player. Whoever, you're just out there.
Yeah.
Changes every week.
Sometimes we play devil's advocate.
We do. You're a bit cheeky like that, you are.
Yeah, I'm Catholic.
Next.
Last couple of bits of feedback, I think.
Yes, this is from Ryan. Ryan's talking about the games of the last console generation, which we talked about last week on the podcast. Actually, on a side note, we ran the IGN list, the top 100 games, and then we asked you to vote for your top 100 games. That list, the user-generated list by the IGN readers, is now on site as well. So if you want to check out what you picked, and you can't complain about that one, because that's all on you. He said... you missed quite a few games on the list. We talked about like Fallout 3.
Yeah, you did miss those games.
Yeah, Alex. And he says, you didn't really talk about going back and revisiting them. He says, what are your thoughts on going back to play classics that you may have missed for whatever reasons? Do you do it? Can you be bothered? Or would you rather be playing something new? I think this extends to like films,
movies as well,
like, and books or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the classics. How do you find, do you ever find time to revisit? Or are you always about what's next?
Is it? It's not just classics, I don't think, either, though. It's with movies as well. It's movies that there's a buzz about. Mm. And if you don't watch that movie when there's a buzz about it, the chances are you're just not going to get around to watching it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, like films that are, I don't know, more than 3 months old, I often forget about it.
Yeah.
So you've been part of the best of the year list and go, oh, yeah, I should really watch that.
I catch up with a lot of stuff on Sky Movies. Mm. So it's 18 months down the line from when it's come out.
Mm.
But I don't find much time to revisit stuff. I used to rewatch quite a lot of stuff, but now there's just too much out there with all the good TV as well as all the good movies.
There is
now
a lot of stuff,
you know, 15 years ago, I wasn't watching as much TV as I am now. And I don't think many of us were.
The only slight difference I can see with video games above other kinds of media is you need a certain type of technology to play certain games. Like, they've made older games sometimes accessible through remakes or through virtual consoles or downloads or whatever. But if you want to play something that might not be available, you might have to make a more significant investment in buying the old console, tracking down a cartridge, and that makes it much harder to do. It's like trying to, if you could only read Frankenstein if you get the original manuscript, or something edition, like,
Like even more recently,
it's a bit
like
of a hurdle, isn't it?
Like, you know, I don't have an Xbox 360 and PS3 in my front room anymore because that's where my Xbox One and PS4 are. And so if I want to play that game, I've got to unplug it or plug something new, and it's just a bit like, oh, just, well, not play any new games because there aren't any on the next generation. But do you know what I mean?
I just watch Pointless.
Yeah.
I do try to divide my reading and my film watching up into new stuff and classic stuff that I haven't got around to watching.
Do you have a long list of classic stuff that you think, one by one, I'm going to go through and take?
Yeah, vaguely. Right. There's in the back of my head, really. There's a lot, you want to have seen every Hitchcock and every Kubrick and... You know, I've not been a huge Western fan, but there's lots of classic Westerns that I need to catch up on. I did a lot of that when we did the top 25 Westerns feature, actually.
Right.
Doing this job can be quite handy for filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
Did you watch High Noon?
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? Awesome.
Is there a really egregious classic that you've never, like... There's a David Lodge novel where they talk... There's those, like, English professors around, and they have to play this game, like, confess what great work of literature have you never read? Mm. And everyone says stuff, and they're like, oh, fair enough. And then one guy says Hamlet, and everyone's just, like, really shocked. Is there one thing you're a little bit ashamed of?
Well, one of them is definitely 2001, Space Odyssey.
You've never seen it?
Because I've been waiting to see it in the right way. I don't want to see it on my telly. I want to see it with a live score at the Royal Albert Hall or a special screen in the BFI. I believe there's going to be a sci-fi season happening soon at the BFI, and it's going to be there. So
they're restoring it, or they have restored it, and it's coming out, I think, September.
Did you go see it and it broke?
Yes, yeah. I actually went because Michelle has never seen 2001, and it's one of my favourite films. I absolutely adore that film. So earlier this year, we went to the BFI on the South Bank to watch it because I'd seen it a few years previously, and they ran an amazing 70mm print with incredible sound quality, and it looked stunning. And we got there and we sat down, and I was really excited, and it was the most battered, scratched, beat up, splice heavy 35mm print you've ever seen.
So
and it was almost
up,
no. We sat there and we watched it, and then about halfway through the first half, film broke.
But were you just like wincing watching it? Really?
Yeah, like, I was, because it's like this is one of the most incredible audiovisual spectaculars ever, and to see it in that kind of lessened state was, I kind of thought, we may as well have just watched it at home. Yeah. At least on a Blu-ray, you know, it would have looked better.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, you've got to see it on a big screen. It's like, you know, we mentioned Gravity a lot. If you, Alex, you watch Gravity at home in 2D on your telly, and I think you were probably underwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that it was beautiful special effects, but just...
It's almost part of the ride, again.
The sound. Yeah. The sound is amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's loads. I need to catch up on.
So, I've got an email also about Games of the Generation from Brenda Big Tits.
Hey!
Remember Brenda Big Tits?
Yeah. That's a long time ago. That's when it was Tom, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Chris, not impressed.
Well, that's how he signed his name.
Yeah. Just Brenda BT.
Well, that's his name.
Copyrighted.
For me, his Game of the Generation was Portal 2. Usually trading games when I finished to help pay for new ones, but couldn't bring himself to do that with Portal. Anyway, linking back to your Easter egg conversation a few episodes back, he found an Easter egg in the co-op DLC of Portal 2. There's a door that opens a crack in Core 6 Stage 5. I hate those cracks.
I know it well.
If you shot a portal through the crack, I'm always doing that. To get into the room, you will find a robot arm in a glass case giving the thumbs up a la Terminator 2 on the desk. He thought it was a cool little touch and felt rewarded for going back off. For going
That's
off
cool.
the beaten track.
I didn't know that.
That's cool. Whereabouts did Portal 2 come in Games of Generation?
It was 2, wasn't it? Yeah.
Good. That is probably the one game that I would suggest.
That is the one game that I did like.
To a non-gamer. Right. If you don't like video games, play this video game. Because it's just the story and the humour and the gameplay.
When Gladys is in a potato.
Yeah, it's just great. Really good. Last bit of feedback, Chris, I think.
What's our feeling on swearing on the podcast?
Are you reading someone's name out?
No, there's a swear in
well,
there.
Well, I think it's necessary for the context of this.
Agreed. I'm going to swear. And it's your fault.
My.
Yes.
You'll see. This is from Andrew Goodband, who says, Duck Hunt.
Mm.
That wasn't the swear. He says, my favourite game of the last generation was Far Cry 3. I can't think of any other game where I had more fun. Also, in podcast 168, Alex was talking about Far Cry 3 and the sea turtles in it, and how he liked to bomb them, and in his words, oh, sea turtles, when I fucking gave them some of it.
You do say that.
Yeah, probably.
I've never laughed so much, it's my favourite podcast.
There you go.
Do you vaguely remember that?
Yeah, no, I kind of...
I do, I remember that as well.
So he picks Far Cry 3?
Yeah.
Good taste. Agrees with me.
Is it clearly, Andrew's a big Alex Simmons fan.
Yeah. Stu, we're going to do a... You going to say something?
Yeah. Well,
I've written on here.
Do you want to explain those, Stu?
No, you go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, what are we on? We're on podcast 234.
Yeah.
So we've got podcast 250 coming up, which is a landmark.
16 weeks' time, if my math is correct.
Which is around...
probably Gamescom. It's always Gamescom.
Yeah. Around 4 months' time. And so we've been talking about doing a compilation of the best bits of the podcast. But that means there'll be 249 podcasts for us to listen to.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Which is a lot. So we were just wondering and hoping if people out there have any memories like Andrew does of funny things that have happened or moments that they liked, drop us a line, let us know, and we will stick it on this almighty 250th.
Because we started listening to some of the old episodes in the office the other
really
day.
It's really nostalgic.
Yeah. It is, yeah. It's, God, we didn't do it very well, did we?
And some would say we continue to not do it very
that's
well.
True. That's
but,
true.
But back then we spent all week planning it.
But yeah, we'll hear some
voices as we go along now.
We'll hear some voices from the past.
Yeah.
You're Matt. Yeah. You're Martin.
You're Orlando.
You're Keza.
Yeah.
Tom, your sad Dan Kilby.
Yes.
Oh, you know, Kilby wants to come back on the podcast to talk about his journey and where the journey he's gone on.
Really?
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, as a story of inspiration.
Yeah.
Amazing. And we could play rousing music in the background.
Totally do that.
And then we could just send him out to buy a packet of crisps like we used to.
Yeah. And then we can have a soundboard of all the stupid things he said.
Oh yeah, he used to go on little adventures, didn't he? Getting stuff and he had to come back.
Yeah.
Why did we do that?
Why was he wearing a crash helmet that podcast?
Because he was breathing too heavily. And we had those
Oh, it used to be much funnier.
It did, didn't it? It used to be much more childish.
Oh, that was it.
Should we all right, so 250's coming up. Yeah, so let us know your favourite clips, and you know, let us know if there's something you'd like us to do for 250. If you'd like us to have a meet up with you guys, or if you'd like to come in and watch us film podcast 250.
What should we bring back?
Yeah, which feature?
Should we get everyone back?
Nah,
all right.
Not quite.
Not Tom.
No. He's awful, awful man.
I'm seeing Tom tonight.
Yeah.
I'll tell him you said that.
I thought you said he was dead.
Yeah,
Tom,
people aren't on the podcast,
the butler did
died.
It.
See what he did there.
So there you go, IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. That is the email address. I know it's an awful one, but that's all we can do. Now, out this week, games and movies for
We've
you
been
to
going
have
for four hours.
Let's do games first. And Murdered Soul Suspect.
Murdered.
What the hell was that?
Scottish.
Tag it.
Yeah, exactly.
Have we got any Scottish games?
No. So, Murdered.
It's not set in Scotland, it's set in Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Which I was there recently.
Did you see any witches?
I saw some new witches. Wiccans.
Oh.
A lot of Wiccans live around that area.
Any cats?
It's like the official, like, it's kind of the Celtic religion.
Oh, is it? Right. Yeah.
I didn't know. It's the thing that's kind of.
Well, look on Wikipedia, that'll tell you.
Thanks.
It's a bit
Wicker Man.
Did you see any Soul nature Suspects religion. While you were there, Dan?
No, I didn't. So,
dragging it back on
It's
course.
Kind of like. are you reviewing this?
Am I reviewing it? No, Lucy reviewed it.
Yes.
No, am I reviewing her review? No, you go for it. Knock yourself out.
230 how many podcasts and they still don't know how it works.
This is the worst out this week we've ever done.
Well, so Murdered Soul Suspect is out this week. And it's about a private investigator from the afterlife, something like that.
What, podcast beyond that has nothing on us.
So a guy has been shot many times in the chest.
It's basically you're a detective at the beginning of the game, you die, and you solve your own murder from beyond the grave.
That's interesting.
That sounds good.
Cool setup. But, sounds like a cool setup, but it's actually a bit dull to play.
And also, it doesn't make the most of your ghostly powers.
No, you just go around collecting clues that are just on the floor and pretty lame.
So it's a game that's a little bit dead on arrival.
Doesn't make the most of the ghosts.
Oh.
So he's not the ghost with the most.
No.
Who was the ghost with the most?
Who was that?
I don't know.
Who was Beetlejuice?
He was the ghost with the most. Yeah. It was Beetlejuice. Yeah.
You should know that.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to go too early. But he's also a bioexorcist.
Oh, I know that.
All right, fair enough. And then Tamagotchi Life.
Yes.
Which just came out in Japan ages ago. A lot of furore about the fact that you can't have same-sex marriage in the game. But it's like a cute little Sims for your Miis, essentially.
It's supposed to be a bit bonkers, isn't it?
It is. It's really, like, very, very Japanese and eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the kind of the argument should overshadow what is a very weird and interesting, cute little game. Like, you can do
Nintendo
loads of
great
crazy
stuff
in it.
See,
there's not much
Nintendo.
Game to it. Yeah, we do.
Have you been playing it a lot then?
Yes, and my girlfriend's been playing it a lot, and loads of weird stuff happens. Like weird. Honestly, just like batshit stuff.
Okay.
Swore it.
All right. What about movies?
There are a lot of films out this week.
Yeah.
So I will bash through them. What should we talk about first? Cheap Thrills. Talked about that a lot
you
on the podcast.
Love that movie.
It's a really cool film. Yeah, it's like a kind of like Twilight Zone kind of episode, or it's a very dark black comedy about a couple of down and out.
Dark black. As opposed to just being a grey black comedy.
Shades of black.
It's a jet black comedy.
Okay, nice.
See? About a couple of guys who end up taking on a series of challenges for money that escalate, and it turns really nasty.
Do you ever worry that the term black comedy is used just because a film isn't that funny and it's meant to be funny?
I use it when I find that I'm in the cinema and I'm the only one laughing. So it may just be something wrong with me.
So basically, backs up your humour.
Something really horrible's happening and I'm finding this really amusing, but no one else seems to be.
Oh, you'd love Game of Thrones, mate. You'd love Game of Thrones. It's a fucking black comedy.
The Dirties, which is a black comedy. The Dirties was a very interesting movie. Very young guy made it. He wrote and directed. He's only about 19, I think. I think he's Canadian. And it's a comedy about a high school massacre.
Oh, wow. That is a dark black comedy.
Well, you go in thinking this sounds disgusting. And it's actually really clever. It's one of the smartest kind of investigations of why these things happen and what's wrong in society that we're allowing it to happen. And it starts off funny, but then isn't funny towards the end of the film. So that one's worth checking out. The Sacrament, which is the new horror film from Ty West. Ty West fan, Stu? You like some, you don't like others, I seem to remember.
That's right, I can't remember what he's done.
House of the Devil.
Innkeepers.
Oh, I liked Innkeepers, yeah. I liked House of the Devil, actually.
Slow-burning horror films he makes. Yeah. Well, don't tell him that, because he gets bloody annoyed and you have an argument with him in the pub in Soho. Which is what I did.
Does everybody do that?
Yeah,
everybody. No, came away. Oi, mate, you make slow-burning horror films.
Oh, now I'm going to have to fly all the way back to Soho and have an argument with you.
But genuinely, everyone has said it at one time or other who's reviewed his films, I think. And I just happen to be the person who bore the brunt of his anger. But I stand by that statement. But this one isn't... Oh, it's a bit of a slow burner. But this one,
there you go.
This one is loosely based on the Jonestown Massacre.
Right. Oh.
You know, the don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And it's very, very...
Right. He's going to stop you there.
I know. We've done it. Go on.
Done it many times.
Go on. But not, maybe not on the podcast.
But it's not been debunked, but common misconception. In reality, it wasn't Kool-Aid. It was a rival brand called Flavor-Aid that was used.
There you go.
And I will drink my... have a drink from my pomegranate and hibiscus. It's very good, though. It's very dark.
Such a... No, honestly.
God. He should make a horror film called Slow Burner.
Oh yeah, imagine.
About I think he's launched a production company called Slow Burning Films or something.
Well, he's bringing it on himself.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So that was worth seeing, but it's very disturbing. There's a film called I Declare War, which is quite an unusual film, a bit Lord of the Flies. It's about Oh, come on, guys, we're nearly there. About a group of kids playing Capture the Flag, but it's really kind of a metaphor for real life war. They take hostages and nasty things happen. And it's not quite as clever as it thinks it is, but it's an interesting approach.
Child actors.
All child actors. Mm. A film about war starring sort of 8-year-olds in a forest in the States. Fruitvale Station.
Wow, a lot of films, very good films. Very good things about Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, I haven't seen Fruitvale, but we gave it a very good review on the site. It was critically acclaimed in the States. It's based on a true story. A guy called Oscar Grant, who on January the 1st, 2009 or 2002, I'm not sure, top of my head, he was shot by police and he didn't have a weapon. And I think the police officer's defence was he thought he was using his taser to shoot him, but he used his gun. Mm. And a lot of people caught the footage on their cameras and phones and things, and it went online and it caused big debate and big controversy.
And the film was basically the last day of his life, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a day in the life of this guy who was very popular. Everyone liked him in his community. He's played by Michael B. Jordan, who we just posted an interview with. He's playing the Human Torch in the new Fantastic Four. Really good up-and-coming actor.
Cool.
We have Grace of Monaco, which I haven't seen either. It's screened in Cannes, and apparently it's the funniest film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Unintentionally so.
Right.
With Nicole Kidman playing Grace of Monaco, and lots of very good English actors doing very bad French accents in it.
Apparently it is absolutely lousy.
So almost worth seeing just to laugh at rather than with.
Yeah. But then you don't want to pay money to see that, do you?
Wait for it to come on the telly. And the big film of the week is 22 Jump Street, which I've seen reviewed on the site. I gave it a 7 out of 10. If you like the first one, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
I like the first one. I like this one. It's just...
It's okay.
Unfortunately, it's the same story and the same jokes.
Mm. Right.
But
there's even like a line in it that says, just do what you did last time, isn't there? Or something like that.
There are about 20 lines like that.
Oh, really?
And they're all quite funny, but after a while it's like, yeah, I get it. And it's funny that you're acknowledging this, but... Something new now.
It was always going to be difficult because the last one was such a sleeper hit, wasn't it?
It
took everybody by surprise.
And it was very fresh, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very unexpected. So I would say check out Cheap Thrills if I'm going to recommend one film, but 22 Jump Street you can't go wrong with as well.
Okay.
And what game are you recommending, guys?
Oh.
Probably Tomodachi Life, I think.
Yeah, or Among the Sleep, which came out actually last week.
We just reviewed that,
where it's a first-person horror adventure where you play as a two-year-old child looking for your mum who's gone missing in the middle of the night.
What?
So it's a laugh. Yeah. It's a black comedy.
It does sound quite fun.
Jet black.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Great. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Don't forget, next week there might be something from E3. Hopefully.
We have probably a few things on the site. Yeah.
Yes.
Or would you just like to listen to me chatting for an hour?
Wait, just why don't you live stream solidly for the whole week? From your desk.
Oh, what's the name of the Irish comedian who sat down?
Huh?
The Irish comedian who used to sit down and to do
stuff. Dave Allen.
That, but Tilly.
Yeah, I'll have a whiskey and a cigarette, even though I don't smoke.
Just hack the top of one of your fingers off.
Oh, dark.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.